Welcome back, Emily. Now that we've heard everything about your career and your mom journey and kind of how
you're being pregnant
and being pregnant right now, right. Which is also big news.
Huge.
We haven't heard anything about how you met your husband or how you guys are making it work with these soon to be three kids. Like, what is it like? Well, what was it like to meet him? How did that happen? How's your marriage now? This is like our therapy session.
This is our
therapy session. Tell us everything.
Tell us.
Great. Overwhelmed.
I think it's under three.
Yeah, exactly. We can keep our heads on. We feel like that's a win. We were set up on a blind date. We lived in Washington, D.C. I worked for a military policy organization where we represented LGBTQ members of the military. And my husband had served in the military and served in the army. But we were set up through someone in LA. Like, my cousin knew his roommate. It was like totally random. So he set us up on a blind date. And I remember he sent me a message on Facebook and he said, "Hi, I heard you're cool and smart." Wow. And that was the only thing he wrote. And I remember saying to my friends, like, "No ask." Like, "Yeah, I am. Do you want to meet me?" Like, so we met up for a drink.
Wait, so what did you just write back? Okay. Like, what did you say?
No, he didn't ask me anything. I was like, you want to meet?
Oh, you actually asked him, do you want to
meet? Yeah, no. How long are we going to do this for? Like, let's just meet.
Amazing. I love that it was through Facebook Messenger.
I know.
Right. So, free, like all this other stuff.
So then my husband, we meet at a bar and my husband brings a friend with him. And I was like,
this? Isn't this a date?
Yeah, I was very confused. And it turns out the friend that he brought is incredibly argumentative. So in the first few minutes, he said, who is now my husband, he was like, "Well, I don't know anything about you. Like, what do you do?" And I was like, "Oh, well, I work for the Service Members Legal Defense Network. I don't know if you've heard of it." He was like, "Oh, yeah, I've heard of it." And his friend was like, "I know it. And when you guys sued this part of the military, I was one of the named defendants."
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
Oh.
What are the chances of that?
Yeah, like first 5 minutes. So interesting. And I had like really made a pledge to myself to like be less argumentative on dates. Like,
and you're like, boom.
And you're like, on your vision board, be less argumentative on dates.
Totally. I was like, so interesting. What is he talking about? Also, by the way, this lawsuit didn't exist. Like, I knew all the lawsuits and I knew that lawsuit didn't exist.
So he just like fabricated out of nowhere?
I don't know.
Okay, he just wanted to have an argument. Okay.
He probably just wanted to have an argument.
But why did your husband bring him on the first date?
You know what? We actually to this day debate this question. He's like, "It was legit to bring a friend." I'm like, "What are you talking about?"
No, it wasn't. Okay, just let's set the record straight there for
No.
Don't bring a friend on a first date.
I am going to replay this part of this podcast for my husband. This comes up, we still to this day talk about this. So he was like, "That's fine." But so then I think his friend saw that I wasn't taking the bait, and he was like, "And I don't think don't ask, don't tell should have been repealed."
Oh,
and like,
no.
I just put my couple years into this, like this went to the core. So now I'm just arguing with his friend. It just gets so awkward. So finally it just gets so awkward. His friend was like, "I'm going to leave." And I was mad. And he's like, "I think I'm going to leave." But then I look over and the guy that I'm on my date with seems totally unfazed that this just happened. Like, as if we've all just been sitting around, like, having tea. And I thought it was kind of interesting. So I was like, okay, I'm going to stay. And then I remember later into our date, he says to me, "You know, I have a much better visual memory than auditory." And I was like, "Okay, sure, yeah." And he was like, "For example, I have no idea what your name is because I haven't seen it written." And I was like, "Oh, well, it's Emily." And he's like, "I'm Kevin." And I was like, "No, I know. Because I'm on a date with you." But there was like this moment that I was like, I love him.
What?
Like, who would say that? It's bizarre. And I loved it so much.
Oh my God, that's hysterical.
I remember I like went to the bathroom and I was like, I think I'm in love with him. Like, I was like taking a moment for myself and I was like, this date is going amazing. I've never heard anyone talk like this before. I love this.
This is amazing.
Oh, so that was our first date.
And now here you are.
Yeah.
So
does he know everybody's names now?
Yeah, he's seen them all written down. Okay, so he's good.
So that's like his thing. He has to see it written down. I feel like that's
a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely bring that up in opening conversations. Apparently it works.
Yes.
If you want people to love you, this is what you do.
Very attractive.
So after you guys got married, and how did he react when he found out that you guys were going to have a baby?
He was really excited. He was like, this is why I got married. Like, I want to have kids. Awesome. He was very excited. And to be honest, had a little bit of trouble understanding why I wasn't excited.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, I thought that we agreed that we wanted to have kids. Like, this feels like a natural progression. Like, why is this such a shock to you? I think because he didn't feel that, like, possibility of loss of opportunity.
Right.
In the same way. And he honestly really had a hard time understanding why it was so hard for me. I think he tried to be supportive in the ways that he knew how, but it was just a really hard concept for him to grasp.
I mean, did he take time off, like when you had your first child, or not really?
When I yes, he did. He was planning on taking, I can't remember exactly what it was, but he was planning on taking the full, like, I think 4 weeks that was offered or 2 weeks that was offered. Basically, we cut it in half and we were like, you got to get out of here. like I just needed to be like, miserable on my own. Like, I couldn't also be nice. So in the first like couple of days, so I was like, you got to go back to work.
It's funny because Brian like left like the first day. Like, he was like, see ya.
You had Dylan and he left?
I feel like he just went to the office and like, you know, like, yeah, I feel like he was not.
I do feel like the first 2 weeks that Eric was home, I had that same exact thing. Because we had like, you know, the lady who was taking care of me, and like there were too many people in the house. And I was like, you are just clogging the pipeline. Just leave. Like, just purely bathroom space is missing because you're here half the time.
Totally. Like, he was trying to make himself useful, but it was like annoying to me.
Exactly, which is just worse.
Exactly. He was so nice, and he was trying to be nice. With the second one, what we actually ended up doing is that he was able to take it over a couple of months. So we took a couple days right after I had the baby. But then a week or two later, he took our then 1.5-year-old away for like 5 days. And that's
huge.
Was amazing, because it just gave me some time to reset, settle in with the new baby again. We're actually planning to do it again this time.
Or he'll take two?
He's going to take them one at a time.
Okay. Wow. Ambitious dad. Yes. I can't do that, like, as a mom. So yeah.
That's amazing.
No, totally. But we keep calling it his daddy moon.
Aww.
That he's going to take each of the kids away for a couple of days.
So in my house, you know, I think I felt the same way as you did when you found out you were pregnant. And in my home, we've tried so hard to like keep gender out of being parents, but it's very difficult. So I'm curious how you've navigated that in your house.
That is a very good question, and something that we struggle with, I think, on a daily basis. You know, there's some things that we've done, even just in dress. I mean, first of all, I didn't buy any clothes so I have a boy and a girl, the younger one's a girl. And at first I was just putting her in all hand-me-downs, which apparently was the way to make my mother insane. I found the thing, and it was a little girl in all boys' clothes. And I thought that was fine. And I still think it's fine.
I mean, at that age, it's like,
they don't even know. Yeah. They're like, whatever.
But she probably wanted some nice dresses.
She wanted she wanted it for the cards. Right, like, she wanted some nice dresses in there. We found a company, actually, that we like that makes little girls and now boys clothes called Princess Awesome, that makes dresses for girls that have like construction trucks and dragons.
Cool. Yeah.
That's good to know.
So we do a lot of that, like a lot of very sciencey kind of stuff. So we think those are cool for our daughter, but I mean, I think it's really hard. We went to Disney on Ice, and so my son became obsessed with Moana.
Oh.
And so we got him a Moana costume, and he runs around in his Moana costume.
That's great.
I love that.
And so we don't really differentiate, but he's definitely starting to pick up that some things are for boys and some things are for girls. As much as we try to not reinforce it, it's in everything. It's so hard. I mean, both of my kids have Ruth Bader Ginsburg dolls, which I feel like is a win.
Everyone should have a Ruth. You and I should have a Ruth
Bader Ginsburg doll.
For sure.
I think it's interesting, actually, how it divides up, because Dylan is like, he's really boy in terms of trains, trucks, car, you know, all that. And then, but he loves art and music. But and then the other day he said, you know, I really love blue and pink. And he's like, I know a lot of boys don't like pink, but I like blue and pink.
That's interesting that he picked up that other boys don't.
Yeah. And I was like, when did we say that boys don't like pink.
See, I never said anything like that. And then Madeline started going to school and suddenly pink was her favorite color. For the longest time, it was some other color. But
now
it's so interesting. Yeah. My little girl, the 1.5-year-old, will carry a baby doll with her everywhere. But my son didn't really do that. So I don't know what it is, but there's something. But I mean, actually last weekend, we were with my sister, your past guest on this show.
Yes, Carolyn.
Carolyn from Peloton. Yes. And she has a girl and a boy. And at one point we looked over and the boys were tackling each other and the girls were putting stamps on each other.
Right. That's totally it. There's something about tackling each other.
I mean, we were all, to be fair, we were also watching football at the same time. My sister she paused the moment and she was like, what is this gender stereotype moment that we are living right now?
We
did everything we could.
Crazy. So question for you. I know you moved from DC to New York. So that's recent.
Yeah. Last couple of weeks.
So.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Welcome. I had no idea it was in the last couple of weeks.
I thought it was a few months, but that's wow. Yeah. Well, welcome.
Thank you so much.
How's it going?
Well, I just came this morning from meeting with movers, so that's going pretty well.
So thank you for coming all the way to the Lower East Side our podcast.
This is amazing.
Guys, subways go up and down.
They go everywhere.
I know, right? We need to keep reminding people that.
Yes. That's a big deal. So when you were in DC, how did you have help when you were traveling for work or on camera? Like, how did you navigate your help? Now you have family here, but is there any routines in terms of that for you?
That was honestly a big part of why we moved. I'd say probably the biggest part of why we moved is that we wanted to be around more of a network and around family. We wanted our kids to grow up with my sister's kids and they love each other. We wanted them to be together. And now we just kind of have more options. Whereas when we were in Washington, we really didn't have that same kind of network. So, you know, we had a nanny when we were at work, but the weekends were hard. And so actually most of the weekend shows that I do during nap time.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you
wow, that is so
that.
Responsible that's, of you. It's like incredible. Truly.
And if they nap for 3 hours, that's really good.
Did your kid ever
Dylan
nap
Dylan until
hours?
4 years old napped for 3 hours. Three to four hours. It's amazing.
Oh, and I will keep them in that crib.
It, yeah.
I have not had my kids have a 3-hour nap. Ever.
Yeah.
Like since they were
so
born
tall.
Out of my who it just never happened.
Honestly, I'm so sorry. You're really missing out. I'm so sorry.
That was a must. Nap time was a must.
Yeah, nap time's a real non-negotiable.
You're in that bed.
Oh my God.
But there have definitely been times. I mean, look, I can't just bring a kid with me by myself to a studio because they can sit with me in hair and makeup, but there's a time that I have to go on air and my kids are very young. You can't explain to them just sit here in the green room and don't spill anybody's coffee. don't engage with the people that want to argue with you, so you somebody has to come with me. So a lot of the times I'll have just younger people that I had worked with who had offered to babysit, come in the car with me just to be able to stay in the green room with the kids. I did a training. I actually did a training for women running for office. It was in Washington. And so my husband and I figured it out where my husband took the older one. I took the baby and I brought this young woman that worked with me to kind of be the babysitter in the hallway. And in the middle of the media training, my baby suddenly perked up and realized it was my voice. And was just losing it in the hallway. And I was trying to keep a straight face and stay focused on the training. And I was doing a training for women who were running for office. And one of them raised her hand and she was like, can you just go bring the baby in? We don't care.
Yeah.
So I did the rest of the training holding the baby and she was fine that way.
Do you have pictures
Hashtag
of that?
Mom's got
yeah,
this.
Mom's got this.
I do actually have a picture of it because they were so thrilled because they're all running for office. And so they were like, oh, wait, we can do this.
Yeah, no, because it actually, I think it disarms people a little bit. I do think that anytime, so Stacey knows this, but I was producing a TV show, which won an Emmy last year. Anyway, thank you. But the season that won was the season that I had my baby on my body in a carrier asking people questions. And it immediately changed the way people reacted to me because whatever, you have no reason to talk to me if I'm just there. But if suddenly I have an 8-month-old on my belly, you're like, oh, there's a baby. You know, it's just different.
The reason you became my co-host is because you were on camera with your baby M. And I was that's my mom.
Madeline has been, like, she has literally been on camera since she was 3 months old. I did the Steve Harvey show. I flew to Chicago with her because I didn't have a nanny yet, because apparently you're supposed to hire nannies before you have the baby. And nobody had told me this. So it took me a long time to find out. But anyway, story for another day.
It's funny about having a child on set, because I can't announce what it was for, but recently we had a kids shoot. So it's for something for kids. And Michelle had her two kids there, and I had Dylan, and the photographer had her daughter. And for some reason, I thought I could do a photo shoot with like 16 kids with Dylan there being cool with it.
Right.
But Dylan was cool
like
with
sharing
it.
You.
He was, after a while, but in the beginning, he just wanted to be on my leg and be with mommy and like direct the photos and not be like, he's in a few, but like in that first group, he was supposed to be in it. So he wasn't, in my head, he was like crazy. Right. And I'm like, get off me. But you think that you can do it all. And oh, is that me? I'm listening to Business of Hype.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Just came in. I don't know how that happened.
But you have headphones in there. How is that playing out?
I don't
out
know. That's so weird. But it's a great podcast if you want to listen to it.
Too much.
Or hype. Yeah.
But
so
I think to your point, I mean, sometimes I feel like, you know, hashtag mom's got this. Like I brought my kids, I got this. And sometimes I just find it way too stressful to have my kids there.
Yes.
But you're not going to know in
but
advance.
But you don't know. But like when they're one, you're like, oh, okay, but that he, right, heard your
voice.
It was
the little girl, yeah.
The little girl heard you. Like at 1 year old. Like that's amazing. And that's you. So it's incredible. I think the routines, relationships of everything you're doing. I mean, there's so many touch points of different help and it's just hearing these stories is incredible.
Well, we're so glad you're in New York, by the way.
Because me too.
You have us as support if you ever need a babysitter.
Yes.
How serious are you guys?
Yes. We do have.
I mean,
people.
I have two kids that I need to watch on my own on weekends. So any excuse to have extra kids is welcome, because they all play together then.
Exactly. And they're playing. The TV thing is actually really funny. They're like the media piece. I mean, I've brought my kids to almost every set that I go on to, partly because I want them to know where I'm going when I go. But my kids also don't watch a lot of TV. They mostly watch either like football, or if I'm on, then they'll watch it.
Yeah.
So one, sometimes if we go into bars and like CNN's on, they're like, but you're here. Like, why aren't you on TV? I'm like, thank you. You think I'm on all the time.
Right?
But then also a friend of ours was on, a senior staffer on a presidential campaign and had like a featured role on The Circus, the show that follows the presidential campaigns. And so we were so excited and we were talking about it. And my son kind of looked unfazed. And so I looked at him and I was like, do you just think that all mommies and daddies are on TV? And he was like, yeah.
That's hysterical.
Like I was like, all right, we need to get you out there a little more.
I get it. That makes a lot of sense.
I mean, he's been on set for a long time.
He's so like, he's going to be on set. What it is.
Right.
Exactly. He's like, here's the mic packs. Here's the IFBs. Like,
you just mic yourself.
Directing this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness. Wait, what was you found a clothing line that had sort of gender.
Princess Awesome. We love Princess Awesome. Okay. They have.
Is it a website or is it?
Yeah, it's a website. Okay. So you can just, I think it's princessawesome.com.
Okay.
But they have very cool, they have like fire truck dresses
I'm definitely buying a bunch of this stuff.
Yeah, my daughter actually loves dinosaurs. So we got her like a bunch of dinosaur leggings, and she has construction truck dresses, and she loves
it
all.
It's true that that's hard to find.
Yeah.
For girls.
Yeah. No, it's true. You know? I mean, well, nowadays Madeline just wants to wear tutus. So those are easy to find.
Those are easy to find.
You know.
But maybe you could get like some tutus with construction trucks on them.
I know. I mean, she loves Bob the Builder. So I feel like, anyway. As most 4-year-olds do. Yes, there is some sort of happy.